I was watching Game of Thrones with my friend. I started having panic attacks because I was in debt by $100,000. I had just come out of the university. The closest I came to depression was that moment. The Airbnb app makes me about $50,000 every single month.
What are some of the mistakes you did in your first business that you learned from in the Airbnb business?
So with my first business, I prioritized.
Is that the reason why a lot of people fail in their first venture?
Yes, I think that absolutely.
Uncle Kwame lives in London. He's worked all his life. He's got a 7-bedroom house somewhere in Wager. He spent the last 15 years building that property. Is it an asset or a liability?
What if I told you that the man you're about to meet was drowning in $100,000 of debt, but today pulls in $50,000 a month, traveling the world, running a thriving Airbnb empire, and training others to escape the paycheck to paycheck cycle? This isn't luck. This isn't a scam. This is strategy, and he's here to show you how to do the same. Welcome to a conversation that could change your financial future forever.
Your revenue and your income, they are two different things. An understanding of what your income is going to change your financial life. Because if you make $1 million and you spend $1 million, you haven't done anything. You're a financially illiterate person. It is not every single thing that you can afford that you should buy. If you drive a Toyota Corolla, even though you can afford a Benz, that is financial wisdom.
What are some of the businesses that people can do when they are moving to Ghana?
Okay. So,
welcome to Connected Minds Podcast.
Thank you.
My name is Derek Abaite. And I love the fact that you guys take the time to listen to this conversation. And the growth that we've had wouldn't have been possible without your support and you sharing it to family and friends. You see, the best way to grow podcasts is word of mouth. So please carry on sharing the good word. Today's conversation is with Adnan Sani Dangote. Now, this man is a financial coach. He teaches a lot of financial literacy. And I'm 100% sure that after this conversation, you will be blessed. So stay with me. Let's get started. How are you doing, my brother?
I'm good. How about you?
I'm blessed. You are doing an amazing job.
Thank you very much.
Yesterday, I spent about 4 hours just digging through to find out exactly where this whole thing started and where you've gotten to now. But for me, I think the future for you is orange. You know, it's
thank you very much. I'm flattered.
Yeah, but how are you doing?
Yes, I'm good. I'm good. We thank God.
Yeah.
We are doing our best.
Yeah. This is where I want to start from. In 2017, you owed $100,000. How did you come out of that?
This is a part of my life that every time I talk about it, I become very emotional because I started a business. And I decided to involve other people because, like, as naive as I was, I decided that I was going to involve other people, took investment from people and invested, and I got hugely, you know, indebted. And that was when I started learning about money, learning about financial literacy, learning about things I could do to get out of that. So when I started applying it, I started doing things, and I was lucky at that time. I found out about Airbnb when a lot of people didn't know about it. And now that a lot of people know about it, I have gained mastery. So the advantage that I had was that I went into a growing industry at the time. So we started, you know, getting a lot of apartments. We're investing in Airbnb, doing a lot of things. But it's, of course, I've always said that if the Airbnb business was the first business that we started, we would have failed. But
why?
The reason we would have failed is that because before the Airbnb business, I had done other businesses and I kind of carried the knowledge that I had in those businesses into the Airbnb business. So it is not the Airbnb business as such, because anybody who has tried Airbnb will tell you that even if you have one apartment to become a super host, it is difficult. I've done it with 70 apartments, right? And it's because of the knowledge in other businesses that we have kind of carried into this business. So that was actually how I got out of 100,000.
That's very interesting. Is that the reason why a lot of people fail in their first venture?
Yes, I think that absolutely. 50% of businesses fail within the next within 5 years. 50%. It means that every business that you are seeing right now, within the next five years, only half of them is going to remain, right? So a lot of people, when they start a business, you don't know. It's just like you starting to drive. You've never been to an auto call or something. It becomes really difficult, okay, to start your first business. When you start your first business, it becomes difficult to succeed because it's your first business. You are experimenting. You are doing things. So with a first business, it's usually very, very hard. So you have to continue learning.
So what are some of the mistakes you did in your first business that you learned from in the Airbnb business?
So with my first business, I kind of prioritized just investing, okay? I was just investing and I didn't actually pay attention to the safety of my capital, right? So my investment journey, my business journey kind of started when I read The Rich Dad, Poor Dad. It was the very first book that I read. So I had understood that everything that brought money into my pocket was an asset. Everything that takes money out of my pocket is a liability. Based on this understanding, I started a business. So I was there. If you came to me and I said, and if you came to me and you said, okay, listen, give me your money. I'm going to give you, let's say, $100 at the end of every month. I see you as an asset because you are going to give me money at the end of every month. But I didn't pay attention to the fact that you take my money doesn't mean that my money is safe with you. It means there's a chance I can lose the money I have given to you and I can lose the interest on it, right? So all of this naivety in business, that was what I carried into business, you know. So one thing I learned was that every business now that I get myself involved in, I make sure that my capital is safe. I make sure that every business that I do, I pay more attention to businesses where people pay me. Before I offer the service.
Wow.
Compared to businesses where I offer the service before people pay me. Because that is how you get bankrupt, right? But if you have a business, payment comes upfront. And then if you're an ethical businessman, then you take it from there and you kind of offer the service to the person. With that one, you are more likely to succeed as a business person. So a lot of lessons with that business.
You've learned a lot. Exactly. And I can tell you've learned a lot.
Exactly.
You know, so you went from making some really bad mistakes, then, you know, you pick yourself up through the Airbnb business that you had.
Yeah.
I'm sure you still have that.
Yes.
Okay. Most of the time, some of the things you talk about is financial literacy.
Yeah.
What is that?
So financial literacy, I'm going to try to give you an explanation that you are going to understand and your viewers, I know you understand, your viewers are going to understand once and for all, because of course you can look it up in the dictionary, but a lot of people, the concept sounds like a very complicated thing.
Mm.
Now, financial literacy, in its essence, I want to make it very simple for Africans to understand.
Mm.
Simply is that it is not every single thing that you can afford that you should buy. And I'm going to explain it with, let's say, your mode of transport, your car that you drive, whatever mode of transport that you use. Now, if you drive a Toyota Corolla, even though you can afford a Benz, that is financial wisdom. If you drive a Toyota Corolla, because that is the maximum that you can afford, that is a financial mistake. Because in the world of financial literacy, you don't cut your coat according to your size. Often your coat has to be smaller. It means that whatever position you find yourself financially, whatever action that you are going to take should be below your financial capacity. And a lot of people, and financial literacy, you don't have to understand every single thing about financial literacy. Only one concept, if you understand, eventually you're going to understand everything about financial literacy. And that is an income. Often we make a mistake between what revenue and income is. And you can Google it. It's not the same thing.
Mm.
Your revenue and your income, they are two different things. An understanding of what your income is going to change your financial life. Your revenue, and I don't know, because I'm fasting, I would have used a bottle of water to explain this. Your revenue is everything that you make within the month. Your income is what is left after what you have consumed. For you to become a rich person, you have to have an income. It means that what you make within the month, you are actually supposed to spend less than what you make within the month. Whatever is left is the income. A lot of people think the income is your savings. Your income is not your savings. Your income is your savings or not, depending on what you decide to do with it. It means that if I decide to keep my income in cash, it becomes savings. If I decide to invest it, it becomes an investment. If I decide to spend it, it is stupidity. That's why we don't even go there. Your income, what you do with your... So for me, an understanding of what an income is what is going to change your life. Imagine if you fix a monthly target that for the rest of your life, you are going to increase your income. The rest of your life, you are going to increase your income. Every single month, do you know where it is going? Your income, not your revenue. Because if you make $1 million and you spend $1 million, you haven't done anything. You are a financially illiterate person. It is what you keep. And your dedication to increasing that income, that is what is going to decide your financial life. That income. And I can tell you that if you dedicate your life the next 5 years to increasing your life, one prediction I'm going to make is that you are going to understand every single thing about financial literacy. Every single thing. Because that is, in the world of financial literacy, it is like the God of financial literacy. Every other thing is around an income. Every other lesson around financial literacy is around what you do with your income. Do you invest it? Do you save it? Do you spend it? And when you start monitoring your income, your first instinct as a person is that you are going to want to say that, okay, I'm going to spend less than I make. So I have to save. I have to spend less, right? With time, you realize that it is not something that is dependable because there's only an amount, there's only a limit to the amount of money that you can save. It gets to a time you are thinking of how to make more. So the rule is not spend less than you make. The rule actually is make more than you spend. It doesn't matter how much you spend. Spend $1 million if you want. Spend whatever you want. At the end of the month, have you made more than you have spent? So an understanding of an income, if you understand what an income truly is, then you understand everything that you need to know about financial literacy. Everything comes naturally.
Victor makes $1,000 every month. That's what comes in. How can he appropriate that money so that he has solid income?
So I talk about something called an allocation, an asset allocation. And for me, I typically don't talk about savings as much. I talk about just allocating your assets and deciding that, let's say, I'm going to keep 10% of everything that I make in cash or everything that I'm worth in cash. That one is much better than for somebody who has, because everybody, you need to know your net worth. Whatever you are worth, you can keep 10% of it in cash. Of course, as you continue to make money, because it's going to be huge numbers, then you can reduce that percentage because you don't need that much cash around. So instead of actually, because when you say that you are going to save, it discourages you somehow. But if you know your net worth and you keep a portion of your net worth, allocate a portion of your net worth in cash, naturally, you are going to save. Victor is worth, let's say, 5,000 cedis. He knows that 500 cedis of his has to be in cash. At the end of every month, he has to make sure that he has 500 cedis. Irrespective of how much he's paid, he has to make sure that that is respected. So an asset allocation solves the problem of saving.
Where you mention a lot of, you know, assets, liability. I mean, you know that number, you know how those things work.
Yeah.
But there are people watching us and they're like, this guy is talking asset. What is an asset? What is a liability?
So I like the rich dad poor dad definition of an asset. So an asset is every single thing that you have that puts money in your pocket. That's an asset. If you have your private car and it's running on Uber, it becomes an asset. If you have a job, your job is an asset because it brings money into your pocket. If you have a camera that makes videos for you and it brings in income, that is an asset. So every single thing that you have that brings in income, that increases your income, Because the rich dad definition of it is everything that brings in money is an asset. Everything that takes out money is a liability. Now, that's a simplistic view of it. And that is a way to start. But when you start applying this, you see that there's a second dimension to it. And the second dimension is that it is not the incomes and the coming and then going that makes a difference, but it's its effect on your income.
Right.
That income, whatever you do that increases your income is an asset. Whatever you do that makes your income shrink is a liability. So instead of, it's a notch higher thinking of it. So instead of...
Uncle Kwame lives in London and he's worked all his life. He's got a 7-bedroom house somewhere in Wager. He spent the last 15 years building that property. Is it an asset or a liability?
It depends. And this subject is very, very controversial. If Uncle Sam built that house where he lived, where he pays rent every single month, then it becomes an asset. Even though it doesn't bring money inside his pocket, its effect on his income, and that income I spoke about is very important, is that it increases his income. Say that he doesn't have to pay rent every month. And income, when we say income, we are talking monthly.
Right.
Not the overall impact on your money or your finances, but monthly. The behavior of that purchase on your monthly income. So if Uncle Sam builds it in the UK, it becomes an asset. If he builds it in his country and he's able to rent it to such an extent that it makes him money more than the rent that he's paying in London, then it becomes an asset. If he builds it and family members are in it and he's still paying rent, that is not an asset because it doesn't have, because of its effect on his income. He's not benefiting from it directly. So I don't like when people say a house is a liability or a house is an asset. It's a liability or an asset depending on its behavior with your income. I don't want, if I talk too much, please let me know because I needed to say a little more on that, but it's fine. I don't.
No, carry on. Because so, for me here, I allow my guests to talk because it's not about me. It's about my guests, you know, and I'm sure my viewers, they watch me every week.
Yes.
And I'm sitting here every week, but every week the guest is different. Yes. So I must allow the guest to talk. And express.
So the mistake, new time understanders of this concept of asset and liability make is that they take it religiously. Everything that brings money into your pocket is a liability. Everything that takes money out of your pocket, takes money out of your pocket is a liability. Everything that brings money is an asset. That is how we all started. It is a concept that is beautiful to understand. Understanding that is better than not understanding it at all. But there is a level, another level above it where the point of those things is its effect on the income.
Right.
A lot of people forget that thing. Say that if you live in your own house, so long as at the end of every month, somebody doesn't come to knock and give you money, they say it's a liability. But that concept was brought by Robert Kiyosaki, who in his context, because in America, people, you know, take houses on liability. So at the end of the month, they have to pay money.
Yep, mortgages.
Mortgage. They have to pay money. So money is getting out. So it is shrinking their monthly income. But if you live in your own house, it's true that it doesn't bring money into your pocket, but it has a net effect on your income, which is that your income increases. This is one of the concepts I've had the hardest time explaining to people on the internet. But it is something that sometimes I say that when you say something that is not within your experience, it is an opinion. If you say something that is within your experience, it's a fact. So when I have a difficulty explaining to people, I say, listen, when you start applying it, because it's easy to read a book and understand the concept, but applying it is an entirely different thing.
Adnan, you made a killing in the Airbnb business. What strategies did you apply that made it work for you?
So when I found out my Airbnb business, one thing I just understood, and this strategy works in every single industry, not just Airbnb. In whatever business that you are doing, if you just can give more value to the person who is paying you for the service than the value that you are taking from them, everything is going to be solved. Your business is going to naturally, organically grow because you are giving more value. And when I came into the Airbnb business, I just decided that I was going to. Sometimes I would even announce an apartment that I was renting. I had people just come to confirm that is this the apartment that you are really renting at this price. But I knew that I could play with the margin and still make a profit. But a lot of people want to make a killing in just that one business deal that they have. So the people I started Airbnb with 7 years ago, who only thought about the money that they could make, most of them, they've been blocked. They are not in the business because they cannot carry the business. I have brought that business all this way to a point that the business, the Airbnb app makes me about $50,000 every single month. It's on my phone right now. I can show it. I mean, I will show it to you because you need, if you are posting something on Facebook, you have to, you have to show it to your guests, your viewers. So a lot of people, they are more focused. Their attention is on the money they are going to make once. They are not looking at the money that they are going to make monthly in 7 years, monthly in 10 years. But it's because I give out more value than the value that I got for the apartment that they rent. Today, I am Ghana's most reviewed Airbnb host.
Wow.
Because of that, a lot of people with one apartment, it becomes hard to become a super host because people rent your apartment, they come, the value that they have, you know, paid for is not worth it. Now I've gotten a little lazy, but when I started, it was it was like value, because that's how you grow your business. So that, I see, is a very important thing that a lot of people miss, especially when I come to Ghana and I notice that everything that you want to buy, people just, they just want to make money, so much money and leave.
They don't care about the
service.
They don't care.
Look at your podcast. Look at the value that you have. When I saw your podcast, the first time I saw your podcast, I just knew that this podcast was going to go somewhere because you took a lot of attention. You know, the production, everything is good. Sound quality, everything. I see people doing podcasts. You don't even look at it. I look at this podcast and it's like, this is something I want to come to. I've had people invite me for podcasts in the end. I'm a very not that outgoing. I don't feel like going to those places. When I saw your podcast, I said, I want to come because of the value that you have given. And if you look at the podcast that you are doing and you compare it to others, you will see that you give more value than. So there's no way your podcast is not going to succeed. So if you look at this, if you take this principle across every industry, it's applicable.
There was something very interesting you spoke about, which was the Jose Mourinho strategy. And then I said, my goodness. You know, I was watching the concept and I'm like,
yes,
my audience need to hear this.
Yes.
Because how you explained it, it made so much sense.
Yes, yes.
And I was just thinking to myself, I was scratching my head thinking,
yes,
I should have called you for that tip many years ago.
The Jose Mourinho strategy. So the Jose Mourinho strategy is to take business and flip it upside down. Usually a lot of people, they start a business and they go and find people and they train them and fill them into jobs so that in that company, they are the Odugu of the company. They teach everybody, do this for me, do that. The Jose Mourinho strategy is to be in pursuit of people. For every role that you have in your company, you are looking for someone who does that better than you. You are not looking for somebody that you do it better. You see, when we came, you see the way my assistant was behaving. She said, no, don't do this. Please take this. She understands these things more than me. A lot of things I don't understand. So for everything that you have to do, for every business, every role that you have to employ somebody, the person has to understand that role more than you. It doesn't mean that the person has to understand your business more than you. Holistically, as the coach, like a football coach, you have to understand the game more than everybody else in the game. When the striker scores, you know that the striker has scored. When you can see a good striker, you cannot strike yourself. But when the striker strikes very well, you know that he's doing a good job. If he's not doing a good job, you can replace with another striker. But individually, the individual components of that team are stronger than you, the person who is there. And I call it the Jose Mourinho strategy because this is something that football coaches use a lot. And this, when I started adapting this, I just saw that it took my business to another level. Because every single person who comes is stronger than.
Let me stop it here for a minute. If you've been watching this show, I want you to subscribe and become part of the family. We are on a journey of changing the lives of people on this channel. And we appreciate you for being here. But if you haven't become part of the family, connect with us. hit the subscribe button. Now let's carry on the conversation. Very interesting. Yeah. You know, very much like employing people who have specialized knowledge in a field that you are not very good at, and then allowing them to operate in that area. But you see, the problem we have here is when you entrust such things with people, then they move away. They start beginning to feel like they are indispensable. So then they start playing about and then making it difficult for you to then run your business.
So for me, I have a principle that every single person that I employ, I don't know about other people, I make sure that every person that I employ, I pay them more than the market pays them. So I pay you to such an extent that even you know that it is not fair. I make it such that it is a win-win for me. If you were to leave today, I would have a cheaper replacement. So it's not really a lose for me. Yeah, you would go. And it is true. Like in Ghana, I find that one of the main challenges I find that with Ghana, it's a lot difficult to find people who are really competent, people who are, because it is one of the things that I've had to struggle with in Ghana. You trust somebody, they come, and the next day, they are not doing things the way they are supposed to do. Mm. They are trying to cut corners. I've tried. I say, okay, I'm going to try this time to not be a Jose Mourinho. So I'm going to employ somebody and see maybe if I could, maybe based on trust, I trust. And it just doesn't go the way I want them. So yes, it is a real situation, but you can work around it by just making sure that people who are around you, they are happy. Most of my employees in my company, especially in Morocco, they have been there like at least 2 years, every single person, because it is a value in, value out. Mm. You are giving value to your customers, you are giving value to your employees, and it's paying the business.
Fantastic. Now let's talk about the habits for success. What sort of habits must we cultivate to build success?
I believe that consistency,
okay,
is very, very important. And for me, I am naturally not a very hardworking person in the, you know, traditional sense of hardworking. I'm not a very hard, I'm more strategic. You know, I just find that if you are consistent, everything just falls in its place. And for me, one of the things that changed my financial fortunes was when I decided, one simple decision, I decided that in 1 month, I just decided that I was going to invest every single month of my life. Every single month of my life, I'm going to invest. What do you mean by investing? It means doing something or putting money in something that is guaranteed to give you more money the next month. Derek, think about this.
Mm.
Imagine doing something every single month that is guaranteed to give you money the next month. It means that you get to a point where you can only expect one financial future, which is that you are going to be well off. So for me, that consistency in a particular action, there are a lot of things in my life I'm not consistent about. I'm not trying to make it a real, in life you have to be consistent. But you need to find one thing that if you are consistent at, that is going to change. And for me, it's been monthly investing. Investing every single month.
So now I understand why you have Dangote. Dangote is your name.
Exactly. Because, you know, compounding of your investment, compounding of everything, it works amazing. You wake up one day, you don't understand where your life is headed.
You know, I've spoken to a lot of people about financial success, mindset, and a lot of these things that we talk about. And I'm talking Coach Echo, Sean, Obendakon, Aisha, plenty of people. I can't even mention Futurist. And there's always a common place where they all start from, which is the books they read, the people they hang around with. And I could tell that's very similar to your story as well.
Yeah.
But apart from The Rich Dad, Poor Dad, what other books did you read that really changed your mindset?
Okay. So apart from Rich Dad, Poor Dad, another book that impacted, it's not even a very popular book, but it had, because you're asking about books that have impacted me. It's a book called The Game of Life and How to Play It.
Yep.
The Game of Life and How to Play It. And when I found out about this book, for me, it was just It helped my mindset. I started thinking about what was possible.
Yep.
And I have a video online that has about 22 million views where I'm seated and I'm saying I'm going to become a rich person and everything. That went very viral. Around that point, I was influenced by, you know, this book.
Wow.
Because my mindset at that time had changed. Right? So it is a book that impacted me. Except that one thing I would advise to anybody reading that book is that it is good to have a positive mindset. But the mistake I made after reading that book was that I kind of leaned towards more of thinking positively instead of accompanying it with hard work.
Mm.
So I began to fall a little bit and I had an awakening. I realized that I needed to combine working hard with thinking positive, right? So you are not just going to sit down and, you know, what's the word they use to...
Imagination.
Imagine, or there's a word for it, to imagine your future, to...
Visualize.
But they said to, when you create something in your future, there's a word, you know, spiritual word they use for it. So it's not enough to sit down and visualize your life and think positive. You actually also have to work hard. Way. It's very important. So that other book also did it for me. And another book I would say did a lot for me is also The Millionaire Fastlane. When I read The Millionaire Fastlane, one thing I like about that book is the conviction. I don't know the author so much, but his language, it was just my style. I like the conviction, the no-nonsense, the fact that doing things differently. Okay, the author just felt about like doing things differently. So that book also had an impact on me. So maybe I'll add a bonus. Psychology of Money.
Mm-hmm.
It also kind of gave me a certain peace, a certain, sense of safety and how I had to, because I was go. So when I read The Psychology, I needed to understand, I needed to balance things a little bit. And of course, I'll add a last one, which is my own book, The Way of GPS. Because with all of these books, one thing I understood is that they are good, but they didn't kind of respect the African reality.
Right.
The context is also very important. Most of the people who wrote these books, they are thinking about their very context. It's not in the African context. So in my journey of financial literacy and my figuring out and teaching things, and I kind of found out answers for myself. And that is why I created The Way of GPS, which if you look at how I live my life right now, my entire life is around the Way of GPS. My videos, if you watch everything, you can see that it is The Way of GPS that I use as.
Fantastic. Know. Every often, you know, every now and then, I get phone calls from people in the diaspora. Hey, Derek. You know, I'm coming to Ghana and, you know, I want to move to Ghana, you know, and I'm thinking of a business that I can do. So today I said, you know what, I'm going to keep that in my head and then I'm going to ask you, what are some of the businesses that people can do when they are moving to Ghana?
Okay. So this week, this very week, I put on my social media and I asked my followers a question. I said, what is that one business that has never made anyone rich? And they struggled with that question. And anybody who is going to answer this question is going to struggle. Do you know why anyone who is going to answer this question is going to struggle? Because for every business that somebody has failed, somebody has become a millionaire doing that business. Every single business. So for me, a better question would be, why is it that some people succeed in business and others don't?
Uh-huh.
Because it is not the business that is going to make you rich. Most businesses are fine. But it is you, the person coming to do the business. What do you know? Have you built momentum in the business? Right now, I just told you that I've made $50,000. I make $50,000 every month on Airbnb. Somebody's going to jump on Airbnb. It's not going to work for the person. But that's because I have built a momentum. Till this day, till today, I still learn things about Airbnb. Till this day. And I've been in it for 7 years, right? So for me, it's not a question of what business. It's a question of who you become to do any business. Find the business that you want. Of course, with businesses, some businesses have better fortunes than others. Some businesses are easily doable than others. Some businesses you are able But for every business that you do, the success of that business or not is going to depend on who you are. So if you are coming from the diaspora and you need a business in Ghana, you have to first of all educate yourself. The education you are going to get is better for you than any sort of business that I'm going to recommend to you. Because in the end, it is not a business. It is you.
But why?
That is because businesses are like vehicles. And if you are a driver, you the driver, it is not the vehicle has already been done to move. But the driver needs to know exactly what to do. So if I tell you that, hey, listen, you tell me what is the best car to drive, and I say a Benz, but you don't have a driving license, you'll not be able to drive that. So every business that you are going to do, it needs you yourself to have certain ethics in business. Like I told you, first of all, giving value to people. If you want to do any business that you are not going to, unless you are a monopoly, you come and you force a business that only you can do it. There's no business that you can succeed in if you do not give value to the customer. You don't give value to the people. One of the reasons why my social media blew out of there when I came is less than 2 years, and I do this partially. And, you know, the numbers is, I think I have 500,000 on TikTok to 250,000 on Facebook. Instagram, I think around 60. It's because I just showed up and I started giving value. Your podcast is successful because you bring people and they just give value. So if you are thinking of scamming or you are trying to take things from people and your idea of business is that it's going to give, unfortunately, we all go into business because we are thinking of ourselves.
Yep.
We are all selfish. We want to get something, right? But life is set up such that you cannot get what you want until you give people what they want. Because after all, it's people who are going to bring the business to you.
Well, I actually like that. Life is set up such that you can't get what you want unless you give people what they want.
Exactly.
That's very profound.
Yes.
There must be a particular mindset and a way of doing things that doesn't make people succeed. What is that?
Lack of, like I just said, people get into things because they are thinking of what they can get. They are not thinking of, and I think that is the bedrock of every business.
Right.
Every business is a transaction. I come to you, I give you value, and you remove your money, and you give it back to me in return. Right? If I come to you and I'm only thinking of taking away, and I'm not thinking of giving to you, you're not going to give me your money. And eventually, I'm going to fail. So everyone who wants to succeed in business has to think about giving value. If you don't give value, that mindset of going into take is going to... Really, I don't know so much about business. How did I become the most rated Airbnb host in Ghana? I don't know so much. There's a lot of things I don't know. I've just learned one trick. Give value more than you receive.
Is it possible to do everything right and still get it wrong?
If you invest every single month.
You're doing everything right, but you're still getting it wrong.
You see, I tend to be very spiritual because my financial journey started. And it's not because I'm a very religious person, but I just really prayed to God and He came through for me. So I believe that above everything, there's always the God factor that I'm not going to ignore. But if you remove the God factor out of it, frankly, Derek, it's hard to find a person who invests every single month of their life and they don't end up becoming a rich person. It's impossible. It's a principle. Principles don't care about your feelings. It's a principle. If you keep doing something every single month, investing every single month, how do you get it wrong? What's going to happen? In fact, if you invest every single month, the thing that will happen for you to get it wrong, when that thing happens, your money is the last thing you are going to be worried about.
I've met a lot of young people who have said, I'm doing everything, and it's not working out.
No, they are doing everything on paying attention to the wrong thing. A lot of people are mistaking hard labor for hard work. Hard work and hard labor is not the same thing. So you could be in hard labor. But you can, Derek, right now you are working hard. You are seated in the comfort of your house and talking. You are working hard. This is your dream. You are working towards your dream because you need to build a podcast. You want to be the number one podcast in Africa and the world. Who knows? You are not lifting any weight right now. You are working hard. So a lot of people who said, I've done everything, is that they are not doing the right thing. Have you found a mentor? Have you gone to tell somebody, I am going to pay this amount of money. I want to teach me a system. And I don't mean just putting yourself in a way that you are going to be scammed. No. Somebody that you can find a track record of success. Like, show me the proof. This is what you can do for me. Have you tried that and it went wrong? Now, anytime somebody says, I've tried everything, have you actually ever been mentored by somebody? What have you done? So people like to escape by saying that, oh, I'm working hard. I've done everything. But really, have you done everything? Right? I understand there is destiny. There is all of that.
Hmm.
But do you even try? I've heard somebody say this, that if you can genuinely try the hardest. For me, I don't pretend to be the most hardworking person in the world. But really, if you want something and you try the hardest, there's no way that you are going to lose that. If you really try your hardest, most of the time, it is not important to you. Every single day that you wake up, you are doing what is important to you. I don't want to to overtalk, but there's something something I want to talk about, which is people say that they want their dreams, but do they really want it? What does it mean to want something? Right now, as you and I are talking to you, to each other, it means of all the things that you want right now in the world, right now, talking to me is what you want the most.
Mm.
It doesn't have to be the most important thing to you. Talking to me right now is the thing that you want the most. That means by talking to me, you have said no to watching Netflix. You have said no to trying to meet Dangote. You have said no to trying to, it means you have said no to so many things, bad things, good things. You've said no to a lot of things. You have chosen the thing that you want the most. So if you say that you really, really want the most, what is the thing that you have done? Sometimes we just want somebody to pat us on the back and say, you know what, you are trying your best, right? I don't want to belittle anybody or be insensitive to anybody's situation. But I have been lucky for the most part. God has helped me. But I just believe that if somebody really, really, really wants it, they can.
Let me stop you here for a minute. If you've been watching this show, I want you to subscribe and become part of the family. We are on a journey of changing the lives of people on this channel. And we appreciate you for being here. But if you haven't become part of the family, connect with us. Hit the subscribe button. Now let's carry on the conversation. So, that was profound. You have one person who's worked a little and very much, you know, into the spiritual stuff, praying. And that one person that's kept the consistency, hard work, making sure things are getting done. Which one has the better chance of succeeding?
Okay. I want to say that it is that person who works consistently. But I can talk to my personal experience. And my personal experience was that I prayed and worked. I don't know about anybody, any other person. And I would not want to guess. If I were to guess, I would perhaps say the person who is working consistently. But in my personal life, I pray to God and I ask God, I'm in a difficult situation. I have a lot of debts. Please change my situation. And accidentally, I found out a business opportunity. I took advantage of it. And today, I'm in a position that I can say, thank you to God that, you know, I am good compared to where that place that I was. So for me, for my personal experience.
Where did it take you mentally when you lost everything and gone into the minors? Where was your mind at?
Well, it was, frankly, this is a very good question. I'm happy that you have given me an opportunity to respond to this question. It was a very difficult period for me in my life. You see, I grew up in Tamale. And you see, when you grow up from that part of the world, nothing moves you like that. You just wake up, it's like everything is fine. In my childhood, like I haven't met any adults who was depressed all my life. Because family just doesn't, it's like you have other things to do in your life. You don't have time to get depressed. The closest I came to depression was that moment. And this is why I am always very, very thankful to God. Because it was in that very moment that things happened for me. Because things were really, really difficult for me at that time. And one day I was watching Game of Thrones, right? It is difficult for me, but I was watching Game of Thrones with my, I had a Djiboutian girlfriend. We were watching the end. I started having panic attacks because I was in debt by $100,000. I had just come out of the university as a student. I didn't just owe $100,000. I owed $100,000 and I was paying them 3% every single month. It means not only was I owing $100,000, every single month it was growing. So I kept having panic attacks. And that day we were watching Game of Thrones and I had a panic attack. It was around 2 a.m. like that. I had a panic attack. I took a phone and I just called my mom, like randomly, just like, it's like I'm scared. So I just called my mom. I didn't want to scare her, but I just felt it was the good thing to do at that time. I just called my mom at 2 a.m. in the morning. And she picked up and she's like, what is going on? I said, no, I just called you to greet you. It's like 2 a.m. She said, no, you know what? Come home. Like, just come home. Because she said, mom, she realized, she felt that something was wrong. She said I should come home. So I said, within that next 4 days, I was going to go home. So I decided, I booked a ticket. I said I was coming home. And because I had rented a place, I was there, and the month had already started, I didn't want to go and continue to pay rent. So I decided that I was going to rent out the place in my absence, right? That was how I discovered Airbnb. So even in my darkest moments, even in my darkest moments, I found that very thing that worked out for me. So this is why in my story, I can't leave out the God factor. It was a difficult time for me. Because me, I haven't really had a really difficult life like that. The most difficult period I had was when I owed people money.
Coach, have you lived in a Western country before?
A Western country I've visited. I haven't lived, but I've lived in Morocco. I had a scholarship to study in Morocco.
You just went to study? Didn't want to work?
No, I didn't want to.
What I'm trying to get to is that you did not bring any cash from UK, Canada, Australia, US to come and set up your business here.
I set up my business in Morocco and I started making money in Morocco because the Airbnb was set up in Morocco and I decided eventually to set it up in Ghana. Guess what? I found out that this is even more profitable in Ghana than in Morocco.
Okay.
Yes. So yeah, it started in Morocco and then I brought it here to Ghana.
Now, the reason I ask that is anytime I talk to a guest here, my audience want to know, oh, he's lived abroad. He went to make money and then he brought the money. Was that the case?
It wasn't the case. Since I left the university, I have never worked a job. In the university, I started business. I lost business and I came back and I found out I haven't worked a job. I only did businesses. I only tried businesses and my business in Morocco, I started in Morocco. I started with that very apartment that I spoke to you about. We had to go live, elsewhere, then rent that place. So everything I started, I didn't carry cash from somewhere to come. No, I started it in Morocco and then expanded it here to Ghana.
Coach, what's the best advice you've ever received?
The best advice I've ever received, unfortunately, it didn't come from a human being. It came from the internet. And it was a video I was watching of Warren Buffett. I was watching a documentary of him. And he spoke about an instance where, because he was friends with Bill Gates, they sat together at his father's house. And Bill Gates' father tried to play a little game with them and said, okay, both of you take pieces of paper. Don't look on it. And both of you should write that one word that has brought you to where you currently are. They didn't talk of consistency, which I like so much. They didn't talk of hard work and everything. What they wrote was focus.
Wow.
I don't say focus. The word focus. That was what they both wrote without looking on each other's paper. And for me, when I got that thing, I said, listen, I'm going to master one industry and I'm going to master it very, very well. So at that time, I decided, you know, to just stay on it and work with my Airbnb for the last 7 years. And that's how I grew my business.
I'd love to give you a camera. Anything for my audience.
So what I will tell everyone is that our great-grandfathers and our fathers, they became rich, they made money because of what they did, the things that they did. Today, people still make money by what they do, but it's not much. Today, people are making money because of what they know, not more than what they do. The future that is coming, with AI that is coming, people are going to make money because of who they are. So this is time that you have to work on your branding, your reputation. You have to work on who you are. Because when it comes to a point where you can learn everything that you want on artificial intelligence, I don't need to listen to Adnan to listen to what he has to say. The reason why I want to listen to Adnan is because I know who Adnan is. I want to have Adnan's opinion of what artificial intelligence has told me. So we have like 5-6 years to catch up. Within the next 5 years, things are changing. And you have to start a business. I've outlined it in the world of GPS. I said, if you have nothing doing, get a job. If you already have a job, start a business using the 80-20 principle, which I have spoken about at some point. If you already have a business, try to automate that business. Now, if you already have an automated business, now try to learn about everything you need to know about investing or create a personal brand. Because ultimately, the pinnacle of your money making is to be in a position where you have two things making money for you. Either you have your money making money for you, where you don't have to work. AI cannot take that from you. You can pay, you can buy AI to work for you, or you should be in a position where you have a personal brand making money for you. A point where somebody can say, look, whatever Derek is selling, I'm going to buy because I can trust Derek. So that is a place that we are going to, and everybody needs to take advantage of that future.
What a lesson. Thank God. I haven't asked that question for the last maybe 6-7 episodes. Then the divine just said, Charlie, ask him. And here what's going to come out.
Okay.
Now, there's also another question, which is motivation or discipline?
Discipline. Every day. Discipline. I try my best to not motivate people, but it just looks like motivation is just a product of when you really want to get your goals and you really have conviction. You know that it's going to happen. And when you see everything that is happening in life, making sure that you don't get to your goals, you look at them and you get motivation. You look at the difficulties you are having, you're trying to spread the message and some people don't want the message, blocking it. You look at all of that, you have motivation. So motivation is, you know, spikes. It is just like hunger or thirst, right? You occasionally it comes, you solve it, and then it goes. But discipline is what is important. Discipline is what is going to change your life. To understand that, listen, I don't feel like investing every month, but I've made a commitment.
You know, I've never done this before, but how does it feel to not have and to have? What's the true feeling? So, if you cast your mind back to the time where you were in so much debt, and now, how does it feel?
I'll do everything to not be in that place. That, like I said, for me, I've not really had a difficult life like that. Because even in high school, yeah, you are hungry in high school, but it's not that difficult. You can cope. For me, being in a situation where I had a lot of debt was the difficult thing. And I'll do everything to not be in that position. In fact, it is that position that gave birth to my ambition as an entrepreneur. I tell Haruna, who is the person who worked with me, my very close person, I tell him all the time that had it not been for the fact that I had debts, perhaps I wouldn't have worked hard enough. So for me, the thing that pushed me the most was that difficult position that I was, that fear of being there forever. I did everything to get out of that place. So it's a place that I personally would never want to go back to. And that is why I appear as somebody who is very motivated, who is very confident. It's just there's fire behind you that you are running away from.
Mm.
Yeah. Mm. In my language, we say, it means if what is chasing you doesn't stop, you cannot stop.
Why are you stopping?
Why are you stopping?
You have to keep going. You know what is happening. Look, I've enjoyed the conversation, and I'm sure a lot of you made it to the end. So I would like to know who made it to the end. If you are listening on the audio, leave a review, because I'd like to know what you felt about this conversation. I think it was amazing. So let me know in the comments section. Thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you.
And remember, my name is Derek Abaite. Stay connected.